It's great to be here on God's holy Sabbath day to worship with the saints of God. And it is always a special privilege to share a moment of fellowship and to talk about the greatness and the goodness of our God. Somebody say amen. Amen. If you were blessed this week and God touched your life, and perhaps your life was touched by a miracle, and every day that you find yourself alive, may I add, that is a miracle, because so many others did not experience the same and have died. To those of you who have lost loved ones, those of you that are mourning, be assured that one day all of this will pass, and God will usher in a new day. A day when there will be no more death or sorrow, when we will be with our loved ones as they are found in the Lord forever and ever and ever, amen, worshiping before the Lamb, before the Lord, in the beauty of holiness. And we look forward to that. I'd certainly like to thank your pastor, Pastor Guiana. Thank you so much for the invitation to come and worship with your church family here today, and your other pastors, Pastor Felix and Pastor Adam, newlywed. Is it Pastor Adam here? Oh, there you are. Okay, wonderful. And is your wife nearby? Amen. Come on now. That's all right. Thank you very much, pastors, for the invitation. It's great to be here. I bring you greetings from the Alberta Conference of Seventh-day Adventist Churches, and which I serve you as your Vice President of Administration, the Executive Secretary for that Office of Secretariat. I bring you greetings from the President, Gary Hodder, who we both are coming from Ontario to serve you here in Alberta, and it is indeed our privilege. He's a great president to work with, great person, great leader, and there will be great things that I know will be accomplished as we work together as a conference. I say conference not as a building, not as a body of elected officers, but I say conference as each and every one of us. For we are the conference. We make up the conference. And every action, every activity, every act of evangelism, every act of outreach in the community, every soul won, everything that is done to the glory and honor of God, it's because of what God is doing through you and in your lives. And that's what makes the conference great. Great members, great people working for a great God, and this is what makes Alberta Conference great. Somebody needs to say amen. Somebody need to say amen. I'm not the kind of quiet preacher, so I'm not going to get loud on you either, but I get excited when I get into the Word of God. I get excited when it comes to worship, and so I know you do too, and don't be afraid to talk back to the preacher. All right? Is that okay? All right. Wonderful. So it has been great to be in the Alberta Conference thus far. I'm getting more and more settled. My family has just joined me of recent, and it is a wonderful experience to have them here with me. Finally, we have moved in to Lacombe, and the moving truck came about 2 weeks ago and dropped off our stuff, and we're still unpacking. So pray for us as we continue to acclimatize ourselves to this beautiful province. My wife is here, Cheryl, will you stand, and my daughter, Olivia, and my son, Daniel. You can stand a little bit longer. I mean, she is a very beautiful woman who I met when I was 11 years old. And we have grown together over the years, about 38 years. And all kind of math going on. So some of you are like, 38, 11? Yeah. And I say we've been married 27 years. She's going to correct me on that. It's not that it seemed long to me, but it's just been great being married to her. She is a wonderful person, that God has given me to bring balance to my life. And so it is exciting for that they're here, and we hope to serve you in the best ability as you lift us up in prayers. I'd like to say that you have a number of activities. I know that did we send any leaders to the training at the Pathfinder training? Did you send any leaders this weekend? Yes, I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did. A lot of wonderful work going forward in the community and in the conference. I just returned from a trip to Fort Mac, Fort McMurray, and before that, a trip to Yellowknife. And originally, I was born in Jamaica, and I could speak to you about the beauty of the Caribbean and all kinds of things, but I could tell you Canada is the most beautiful place on this planet. And I'm bragging about this country, man. I'm bragging about this country. Years ago, perhaps, while I was in Ontario, and you asked me to go up to Yellowknife, I would have all kinds of ideas in my head, probably not wanting to go. But I could tell you, having gone, I want to go right back. It is so beautiful. It is so awesome, that part of Canada. And, of course, going to Fort Mac and worshiping with the saints out there was just absolutely grand and wonderful. Going out to Grand Prairie, going out to see our members and to be among the churches there is a very telling thing about the goodness of God and the diversity of our conference and the work that is being done. And so it is a wonderful thing. Continue to lift each other up in prayers, continue to press forward, because our Lord will come again soon. Sooner than we first expect, sooner than we first believe, our Lord will burst the skies and roll those clouds back, and we will see him and we will be with him forevermore. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let me hasten to the word of God, because my time is short and we have a good while, good distance to travel together in the scriptures. So please turn with me to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. And I'll read in your hearing from the New International Version. If you have it, say amen. If you don't have it, say, preacher, please wait for me. Do you have it? Say amen. Chapter 6. That would be very helpful. I won't preach from the whole book of Revelation, no. Revelation chapter 6. If you have it, say amen. Verse 9. I'm going to lead you. Sorry, my bad. Chapter 7. A little cross-eyed this morning. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Onward, and I'll read in your hearing. Say amen if you got it. All right, wonderful. After this I look, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried in a loud voice. What kind of voice? Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders asked me, these in the white robes, who are they? And where did they come from? And I answered, sir, you know. And he said, these are they that have come out of what? Simple tribulation. Pardon me? Great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I'd like to stop right there, though the story continues. I will pause there for the moment. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me and appointed me to preach the good news of the gospel to the poor, to the downtrodden, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to set the captives free. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, as I stand before your awesome presence, save these words from failure. Hide me behind the cross. And as you're lifted, may you draw all men and women, boys and girls, everybody unto thee. In Jesus' name, amen. John, caught up in vision. Before God, a servant of God, shares with us an apocalyptic vision of God's people. He begins by saying, after this, I look, and there before me was a great multitude. After what? What is this that John speaks of? What is this that finds its presence in the passage, drawing us precipitously forward, engaging us in a conversation about God's great salvation? After this is all that took place before that moment. After this time on earth, after this momentary passing of suffering that we call life, after all the pain, and after all of the suffering, the onslaught of evil, the injustices that we observe in society, the inequitableness of human existence, the greed, the stress, the distress, the pain. After the countless board meetings, not that they're all bad, after all the elections, after all of the fanfare and the tapestry of what is church service, ecclesiology, and the exercise of worship as we understand it as human beings, after all of this, the birth and the death of humans, the rise and the demise of leadership, the expressions of political favor in some countries and disfavor in others, the anarchy, the chaos, the crisis, after all of this, at that point in time, your destinies have been sealed. God's people have been sealed. He that is just, let him be just still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. God has made his prophetic proclamation upon his people. And we who are Seventh-day Adventists, We, a peculiar people, people that is set aside, a people with a special message. A people with a privileged perspective, with a missionary mandate, a people that God has chosen to do a special work, etched and ensconced in our name, Seventh-day Adventists, for we look to the second coming of Christ. Somebody say amen. This is our vision. This is indeed the centrality of our expression as Christians. This is what motivates us. This is what keeps us centered and rooted and grounded. When the winds blow and the storms come and all things push and pull against us as believers, we are kept firm and we are kept in check because we believe that God has procured for us and secured for us a beautiful place beyond this place. That if we are faithful as He is faithful unto us, one day all of these things will wear away like an old garment. And behold, all things shall become new and made new. And the low places will be exalted and the high places will be made low. God will call all His people before Him. All His children throughout the ages, throughout all era, through the annals of time, He will call them on that great getting up morning. Do you still have that vision burning in your heart? That vision still on your mind in the forefront of your frontal lobes? Do you still think? Do you still pray? Does it still cause you a shiver down your spine? Do you get excited when you hear about the second coming of Christ? After this, John says, after all of this, he sees a great multitude. Not a small multitude, but a great multitude. He sees them gathered there. As he looked, before me was a great multitude, he says in verse 9, that no one could count or number. Oh, how august that group is. How wonderful that moment is. Can you see them? Like this sea of faces stretched out around this massive island that develops itself as the throne of God. Look in your mind's eye as the countless faces of the sea of people have gathered around the throne of God. This is the same throne that you saw in Revelation 4. It talks about the throne of God. Talks about the peals of thunder that came from the throne of God. And the 24 elders are sitting upon 24 thrones. And the four living creatures. A very specific description of the throne of God. Can you imagine this throne? The throne spoken of before in the earlier passages of Revelation. This throne that juxtaposed itself against all of this beauty, surrounded by a rainbow. Smaller thrones all around it. Worship is taking place. Living creatures. Peals of thunder flashing, and the glory of God bathes the face and the countenance of those that are worshiping in that moment. They give honor and praise to God, for this is the reason for their existence. This is the reason why God has created these creatures. This is the reason why we have been created. Amen, somebody? This is the reason why God has called you into this great movement. This is the reason why you were saved by grace. Not to sit passively in the pews and occupy time and space. You were called for a reason, to be a part of the militancy of God's great army. This Church of Zion, this church, this Advent movement is a military operation. You are called to serve God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. What a great privilege. What an awesome responsibility. But nobody comes to church or goes to a football game. Anybody ever been to a football game? Well, in most sports, you have something that is similar to a huddle, where the team comes together off the side in order to kind of regroup or to call the play. In football, they call that the huddle. And everybody knows that it is in the huddle that the team calls the play and looks over what the next move is as they strategize to score a touchdown against the opposing team. Am I right about it? If I'm right about it, just wave your hand. Let me know you're still there. But nobody pays for a good seat. Nobody pays all that money to go and see the team huddled and just huddle for the entire game. Am I right about that? We do not huddle here Sabbath after Sabbath simply for the huddle. We are huddled here on Sabbaths in order for us to strategize, to have a vision, to see what God's vision is, and to find a way to participate, to reach out to the community, to help those that are homeless, to care for the dying. We come to call the play as we come to worship on Sabbath. But nobody wants to stay in a huddle forever. We ought to be prepared to score a touchdown for the kingdom of God against the opposing team. This is the reason why God has called us, why you are here. It's this group that find themselves before the throne of God. I want you to understand something. As you look at the passage, great multitude that no one could count from every nation and tribe, people and language standing before the throne. He does not begin or try to describe what the faces of each individual. He doesn't even give them names. And I'm so glad that he did not give them names or describe them unless he began to name names and we find that our names were not there. Instead, the names of the people there are not there and the numbers not determined. That means, my brothers and sisters, that everybody here, everyone in the hearing of my voice, has an opportunity to be a part of this great multitude. And to that I say, amen. That is good news. When you see me around that throne, you may not recognize me, because I'll have a full head of hair. Don't laugh. Some of you know that things are not 100% with you either. But whatever it is that's ailing us, whatever it is that's troubling us, we'll be changed. Hallelujah, changed. I can't wait to get that full afro that I used to have. I look at my son, he's got lots of hair on his head. My daughter's flowing over with hair, and I well remember those days. But you won't be able to recognize me. I'm partially buff now and in good shape. And don't laugh. But I'll be perfectly buffed and I'll be remade. Change. Old things are done away with. Behold, all things are made new in Christ. Have that vision in your mind. Don't you ever forget where God has brought you from. Don't you ever forget God's great salvation. Salvation belongs to our God. It is He who saves. Not we of ourselves. It is He who saves. And lo, He beckons to us. You see the great multitude gathered around Him. There is no sorrow here. There are no plaintive notes of complaints. There are no long faces, no sad ventists. This is a time of worship and celebration. See your face in that group. See yourself, your name in that group. You are part of the great multitude. Yes, you are part of the great multitude. Be thou faithful unto the end. He says, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, this throne might fill some with trepidation and fear and anxiety. For it is the way of sin to cause the sinner agitation in the presence of holiness and purity. But notice the writer of Hebrew says to us, Hebrew 4:16, God invites us to that same throne. Come boldly before the throne. To the sinner, it is a place of fear. To those that are saved and are being saved, it is a place of welcoming. God wants you to feel comfortable before the throne. And not only that, the throne is a place of great salvation. That same throne, that same place is a place that we should all feel comfortable before God. Come boldly, he says. Come boldly. Come boldly before my throne, before the glory of my presence, before the awesomeness of my splendor, where angels fall before me in worship, where those six-winged seraphims cover their face with two wings and their feet with two and fly with two. And those angels, so august and awful, with eyes all over the wings, on the wings, beneath the wings. What kind of environment is this but that God calls the sinner? What kind of environment is this that God calls me? If you do not understand that you are special, if you don't understand that God has gone to the extreme to save us, that while we were yet sinners, while we were ignorant, while we were ignoring God, while we turned our backs on Him, while we were busy doing our own things and enjoying sin for its season, Christ died for us. Oh my. Oh my. Scarcely would a good man would we die for, much less. What kind of person would invest the extent of all that they have in a stock that is losing and plummeting? Is that good business? Why would you spend your money on a dilapidated property when the same money could buy a mansion? Why? Why? Why love someone that hates you? Why? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's why you could come to the throne. Because salvation belongs to whom? To God. No more playing church. No more passive serving God. find the excitement and the joy in serving Jesus again. Get excited again. Get involved again. The gifts that God has given to you, the gifts that God has poured out to you, the gifts that God has instilled in each and every one of us. Because we all have gifts, don't we? In this beautiful canvas, Calgary Central, right? This beautiful church. Everyone here has a gift. I don't have to ask you, I know that. Because for whom God saves, he empowers them. There is something that you can do that I cannot do. There are people that you know that I do not know. There are families that you can reach that I cannot reach. There's a message that you can share that I cannot share. The witness that you have. You're saved for a unique purpose. Turn to the person next to you and say, I am saved because I'm unique. Go ahead, tell the person next to you. I know it might be out of character for you, but this is church. We can talk to each other, amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, I am saved for a purpose. Tell them with a big smile on your face, I'm saved for a purpose. And say it like you believe it. Say it with excitement and with confidence. Say it like I'm saying it. I'm saved for a purpose. And do that little arm thing as well. Right? Doesn't it feel good to say it? It's even better to believe it, and it's even better than that to live it. Getting back to the basics of what it means to be a child of God. As he sacrificed himself for us, so then shall we sacrifice ourselves for others. Don't tell me about your 28 fundamental beliefs. When I'm hungry and I can't pay my rent and I'm going through a difficult divorce or I'm struggling with my 5 children and I can't make ends meet, don't talk to me about church policy and what your building fund is going to do. When a church has reached a place where it begins to minister sacrificially, without the expectation of return. Did you hear what I just said? Serve sacrificially without the expectation of a return, which means whether you're expecting baptisms out of what you're doing, do what you need to do because God has asked you to do it. We can only convince the ear. God converts the heart. What kind of church would it be? Should we allow the full measure of the Holy Spirit to fall upon us in latter rain power to descend upon God's people? We would be so infused with glory and with power to do God's will that we could not sit still. Oh, the excitement. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to tell my neighbors about what God has done for me. I can't wait. I see that stranger over there, but I can't wait to tell them, God, please help me to meet that person so I could tell them a little bit about your love. They were in white raiments. They're bathed in God's righteousness. God's righteousness covers them. His holiness. They're pure. And the oxymoron of having washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, washing white robes or washing robes in red blood makes no sense. But sometimes God does the extraordinary. And palm branches, sign of peace and triumph. These people have seen much. And we have been given a song, we have been given a voice that even angels cannot sing the songs of salvation that God has given to us because salvation belongs to our God and we belong to our God, so then we shall be saved. And when we open our mouths to sing praises to God. The symphony, the blending, the sound of our voice will be so extraordinary that I believe all the angels will cease their singing and a great hush will take place around God's throne as the great choir of this mass multitude begins to sing the song of God's great salvation. Oh, glory! I don't know about you, but that's exciting. Oh, boy, I'm going to get excited, but I'm going to try to keep it contained as much as possible. Isn't that exciting? That's exciting to be a part of a mass choir. Can you see the mass choir like everyone that is here today, but multiplied and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied? And you're there and I'm there and you're there and you're there and you're there and you're there. And we're all there before the throne of God because salvation belongs to our God and our God is faithful. And we open our mouths and we begin to sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. We begin to sing the song of deliverance. We've seen our loved ones who did not make it. Our friends that did not make it. Though we have seen all of this pain and destruction, we have seen the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And all of that pain, all of that frustration that we experience here on earth, all of that stuff is rolled away and we begin to lift our voices. Yeah, I don't know what God is doing at that time, what our Jesus is doing, but I could only imagine that he smiles. He smiles in approval. He smiles because he's proud. He's proud of you and he's proud of me. Because we listened. Beaten down though we were, we listened. We were obedient. We did what his bidding said. We obeyed God. We stayed faithful. And this is the essence of this message. Revive the vision of God's great salvation in our lives. May God bless you. God bless you.